Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
A very blessed and happy Ash Wednesday to you. I think it's all right to say happy Ash Wednesday because it is all about being happy with the Lord. He's calling us to be better and better friends with Him. Thank you for joining us today on Catholic Answers Live. Today, the chaplain is in. This hour, we depart from our usual apologetics questions and tackle issues that have more to do with the care of souls. So if you have a question about purgatory or about the Immaculate Conception or any other of those apologetics question, we ask you to just hold off for 1 hour. In the second hour, Tim Staples will be here to take those questions. This hour, we address pastoral concerns, and maybe dish out a little bit of helpful advice if we can. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. And the chaplain, when we say the chaplain, we mean Father Vincent Serpa. Hi, Father.
Hi.
Father Vincent is the chaplain here at Catholic Answers. He's a Dominican priest and the staff apologist here at Catholic Answers as well. And you hear him regularly doing the Catholic Answers Minute. And you gave me ashes this morning, Father, and not just me, but lots of people. And I have to say I made a mess of them. So I had to shape them back into the shape of a cross before we did the show.
Oh, okay. Well, it looks okay.
It does? Mm-hmm. It looks like a cross?
It does. Mm-hmm.
And I did that thing where I went out into the world and forgot that I had them on. And then people are looking at me funny, and I thought, what's wrong with me today? But no, it was just my ashes. And so Ash Wednesday begins the Lenten season.
For the Western Church, it does. Yeah, the Eastern churches, it began on Monday, and they don't have Ash Wednesday.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The Chaldeans, for example.
They don't.
Yeah. But we do, and it's a very visual thing, and people, you know, one of the things when I was in the parish, lots of people would come because. People who are kind of on the fringes, who maybe are in what we would call a bad marriage, you know, not a valid marriage, and not allowed to receive the Eucharist, will come for palms, for ashes, you know, for things that don't require that we be in the state of grace.
And does that affect your preaching? Like, do you take that into account when you think about how you'll preach that day?
Not so much, but one of the things that we do, and what we used to do, at least when I was a pastor. We made sure that the priests were the ones that did it all because it was the one time that we had physical contact with many of these people.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
We would give the palms out and we would do the cross on the forehead. And I think it was a good thing.
Now, what if I don't do enough fasting, Father? What if I'm – are there rules about – I mean, I know there are basic rules about the minimum of fasting, but then I wonder – I think some people get – very, very serious about their fasting, some less so. Where should I be on that spectrum?
Well, it's a very personal thing, and it's a matter of self-denial. There are many ways of denying oneself. Somebody wrote me recently on the forums. I think it was on the forums, and he wanted to fast on bread and water every day of the week. And I said, you have to really be careful about that. You're not the object is not to ruin your health.
Yeah.
And so I told him that do it on Wednesday and Fridays. And I said, even the Carthusians don't fast every day because it's not wise. You know, the object is not to injure our bodies. The object is to prefer the Lord to everything else. And so, you know, much of what we do is almost symbolic to ourselves. It shows us when we fast, it's not a matter of showing the Lord how much we love Him. It's more a matter of showing ourselves how much we love Him. He knows how much we love Him far better than we ever will this side of the grave. But and it is a matter of love. And love is measured by sacrifice. We know how much we care about another person by how willing we are to put ourselves out for them. And the same with their love for us. So we deny ourselves for the ones we love. And in the case of the Lord, no one loves us as much when we consider what He endured on the cross. That is the motive for self-denial for the Christian. It's his love for us and our response to it. Otherwise, it's easy to get off on a cat tangent. You can become obsessed with competing with oneself. Well, last week I did this. Now this week I want to do even more. It's not about us. It's about him. That's where the focus needs to be. So we don't want to get too caught up in any particular form of self-denial.
Yep.
It's not prudent. It's not what the Lord expects of us.
And you mentioned the Carthusians. That's a pretty – they're pretty hard on – that's a tough group, the Carthusians.
Oh, it is. Yeah, they fast from Thursday night until Saturday morning every week.
And so the expectation on a layperson, for example, who's in the world, maybe has kids or a spouse or whatever, those expectations are different.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And when people are under a lot of pressure, we don't want to put another pressure on them. The pressure that they live with is a trial, you know, certainly they can offer it up. But the thing is, the pressure is not a good thing. It's not something that is good to live with if you can avoid it, because it dehumanizes us. The Lord does not want us to dehumanize ourselves. That's not what Christianity is about.
Right. So in a way, if you're living as a mother or father and there's the kids to worry about, there's the bills to worry about, there's the usual stresses of marital life, saying, well, I'm going to take on some extraordinary burden, it may be the wrong way to go about.
Right. It would be better to do something different on these holy days, you know, something that isn't easy to do, but isn't going to add to the stress of your life or to injure you in any way. So things that ordinarily you wouldn't want to do because they're not pleasurable or because they're somewhat distasteful, then take those on. You know, make sure you clean the bathroom every Friday. You know, something like that. Something that you don't like to do, but you do it as an expression of your love for the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do in Lent, and actually all year long. In a somewhat of a lesser way, we put more emphasis on it during Lent. But it's something we should do all the time.
You know? I find it interesting myself that Lent seems to be the most well-known season of the church's liturgical calendar among people who are not Catholic. Like if you told them it's the Easter season, or you know, even Advent, it seems like the world is fascinated with Lent.
Right. Well, giving up something for Lent. There are people who will give up things during Lent who are not even Christians, but they just think it's a good idea, and they feel they want to discipline themselves somewhat. But the motivation, of course, isn't Christian at all. But yeah, it's one of those things that people glom onto, and it's pretty that and certain expressions, Immaculate Conception, they're fascinated by that. Most of them don't know what it means, but what it is, they think it's Mary being conceived without sin. Well, it is Mary conceived without sin, but they think that it's Jesus that is.
That's it. 888-318-7884 is our number. The lines are already filling up. So if you have a question of a pastoral nature for Father Vincent Serpa, the chaplain here at Catholic Answers, now is the time to call 888-318-7884. We'll start taking those calls right after this when we come back on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley of the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
We hear it every year, the perennial question, what are you giving up for Lent? And there's nothing wrong with doing without certain things you may have an affinity for. But this year, why not turn the question around and ask, what are you taking on for Lent? Did you know that by investing as little as 5 minutes a day, you can take on a Lenten practice that will both build up and inform your faith? A Daily Defense is the perfect book for your Lenten journey. Jimmy Akin takes up a different challenge for every day of the year, teaching you how you can defend the faith and give answers to Catholics and skeptics alike. And it's user-friendly, so finding the answers can be quick and easy. Make this Lent one to remember. Order your copy of A Daily Defense today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 6, Jesus warns his disciples that their penitential acts must be just that, and not a means to draw attention and praise to themselves, as hypocrites do. Their love for God had to be the real thing. God deserves nothing less. But this was not to say that they shouldn't give good example. The distinction between the two would be found in their attention. If it was God they were focused on, this would show. So with us. Today we wear ashes on our forehead, not to draw attention to ourselves, but to bear witness to the fact that we will all eventually die, and that we need to acknowledge to God all that we owe Him before that day comes. Remember, man, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. It bears remembering. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Cy Kellett, your host here with Father Vincent Serpa, the chaplain here at Catholic Answers, and the chaplain is in today. So questions of a spiritual or pastoral nature, maybe there's a struggle in the family, or maybe a question that is troubling you about how to raise the child or answer a child's question, that kind of thing. And anything having to do with the spiritual life or the life of the family is welcome today. 888-318-7884 is the number. We go to Anonymous in Bedford, New Hampshire, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Anonymous, you are on with Father Vincent Serpa.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
Thanks for all your work. Mm-hmm. So my question is around the spiritual work of mercy, in particular admonishing sinners. What's the best way to go about doing so, especially when you have like either friends or relatives around you who seem to be admonishing you for admonishing, for instance, if I were to tell someone that it is a good idea to go to communion because you haven't been to church in years, without coming across as judgmental, I'm just trying to figure out what's the best way of doing that while still not coming across as, someone with malice, but rather someone who's just trying to follow their faith.
Well, a lot of it would depend on the context in which you're speaking. If you turn the conversation to what the church teaches and that the Lord is always looking out for our welfare, and He does that through the church, the teachings of the church. They're not arbitrary teachings. They're based on what He requires of His followers. And then you use an example of being in the state of mortal sin. Is something that is abhorrent to God. It's to sin that way is to go in the complete opposite direction of what God wants, and it's to dishonor Him. So to receive Him in Holy Communion is an expression of love, of His love for us. And is this the way we respond by bringing our sinful selves to Him? No, we we have ourselves purified by the absolution given by the priest, and then we pray our penance and express our sorrow for sin, and then we come to Him to receive. See, there's a context there, and then if the shoe fits, then they'll pick it up.
Are you able to do that, Anonymous? Kind of give a context when you're.
I guess a more main context I'd like to give is. Someone who isn't really practicing the faith, or who has someone fallen away, but they're kind of back and forth. Mm-hmm. So they're in a state of mortal sin more because they're not 100% into it. I mean, I understand what it would be like to receive Jesus improperly, but they wouldn't. And I would even question if they're in the state of mortal sin because of that. How would I speak to them?
Well, I think the best way is to talk about yourself. Without admitting sins you've committed and of confessing the confessional, but why you think the way you do, because it's what the church teaches, and so you're concerned. You really struggle to make sure that you are aware of your behavior, so that you examine your conscience on a regular basis, and you need to because you're weak, you're a sinner like everyone else. Again, it's you're bringing the topic up, and you're stating the teaching of the church without directly implying that they aren't doing it, they'll know that they're not doing it. But this is a way of teaching them without intimidating them. You get what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, totally.
Thank you very much, Anonymous. Appreciate the call. 888-318-7884 is the number today. The chaplain is in. We go to Zane in Marion, Indiana, listening again on the Catholic Answers app. Zane, you're on with Father Vincent Serpa.
Yes, how are you doing, guys?
Good, thank you.
I'm doing fine, I think.
Good.
So far, so good.
My question comes as being a young male, mm-hmm. How can we overcome lust? I mean, we see in the Gospels and stuff of lust and the troubles that it can cause. What are some spiritual guidance to just overcome that lust?
To spend time each day reflecting on what he endured for us, to recognize, you know, how painful it was to receive those nails into his hands, to know what the scourging did to his back, the loss of so much blood, the headache he had, the punches in the face, the dislocating of his nose, the pain of the crown of thorns, all those things. The fact that he actually died. You focus on that and let that be your context. That's not the context for committing lust. It will make you very uncomfortable, and it should. To have your life focused on his love like that is the only thing that will control bad habits, especially bad habits of a sexual nature. But that has to do with the very meaning of our lives. When you bow before him in this way, you can't be doing that and on a regular basis and lusting on a regular basis. It just doesn't work. One of them is going to give way. And if you deliberately spend that time with him and grow in appreciation of his love for you and want to love him back, you will, and your lust will reduce. There's no doubt about it. It works. It's not easy, but it works. It happens. But it means your whole life. It's not just this one little corner of your life having to do with lust. It's your whole life that suddenly becomes an act of worship for him, that he becomes the most important element in your whole life, which is what he should be. So it's not just this one little item that will change. Your whole demeanor, your whole stance of the way you live will change. And we call that conversion. And that's why you have why anybody has these difficulties with bad habits, and not just lust, but other things as well.
Thank you, Zane. Thanks very much. We go to another Anonymous in Arizona, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Anonymous, you are on with Father Vincent Serpa. What's your question?
Yes, hi, Father. Hi, Sai.
Hi.
This is something that I've been wondering about for a long time. When you go to confession, how detailed should you be when you confess sins? I mean, if you stole, you have to say who you stole from, when you stole it. If you committed adultery, do you say when you did it, who you did it with? How much do you actually have to say?
I think it's good to give the context. You don't have to mention names, but it's good to really let him know exactly what it is that you did. In a general way, you know, as I say, you don't have to name names. But if you sinned in a sexual way, it's appropriate to tell them how that happened. You know, what you chose to do, and if this is habitual, you know, what we're doing when we go to a doctor, we don't just tell them the minimum symptoms. It's important for us to make it clear where it hurts, so that he knows what to prescribe for us. This is even more important when we're dealing with the soul. So it is important for you to, it's embarrassing and people don't want to, you know, but the priest hears everything. And the priest is human himself. He goes to confession also. So don't focus on that. Focus on the fact that you have dishonored someone who loves you, which is the Lord, who is the Lord himself. And as I said to the last caller, reflect on how much he was willing to endure for us and did endure for us. And then respond to that. Let that be the context in which you clarify your behavior. And context is so important in everything. We wouldn't understand anything without context, you know. So we need to know what surrounds the actions of people, because it can either show them to be worse than they were, or it can show them to be less if we know the context. So it's helpful to the priest, but it's also helpful to the penitent as well.
And does that help you, Anonymous?
Yes, it does. Thanks very much.
Okay.
Thank you. A special welcome to everyone watching us on Facebook Live today, YouTube Live, or Periscope. Father waves.
I don't know
when
which camera, but
it's one of those cameras. Just wave to them. And Father, we get questions typed in there, whether on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and I think Periscope as well. Ollie on Facebook Live typed in the following question, Father. Okay. What does the church teach in regards to the effects of frequent reception of Holy Communion?
The church teaches that every time one receives Holy Communion, one receives sanctifying grace. So if one receives in the state of grace to begin with, of course, and that has to be the case. But the frequent reception of the Eucharist is to be closely united to Christ on a regular basis, being with one who loves us as no one else loves us, and to, in a sense, have been to heaven without realizing it, to be with him. But the difference between heaven and the time of Holy Communion is that in heaven we'll fully know what's going on. And in our situation now, it's a matter of faith. But that doesn't mean it's less true. It just means that we merit as an act of love, the fact that we believe that this is the body and blood of Christ. We take his word for it, and because we want to. We want to please him. We want to be united with him. That's something that won't happen in heaven. That's something that needs to happen now, because it's meritorious. You know, it's an act of love. When we're in heaven, all of this is not necessary, because we're knowing him as he is, and there's no temptations in heaven. It's not hard to love him in heaven. It's just now that it is. And the reason it is for our own good, that we will love him more as a result of having to struggle with it.
888-318-7884 is the number. The chaplain is in today on Catholic Answers Live. Father Vincent Serpa taking your questions on the pastoral or spiritual level. We'll go now to Alexis in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Alexis, what's your question for Father Vincent Serpa?
I'm calling because we have our second child and we're wanting to baptize him, but I'm having a hard time deciding along with my husband. Actually, he's pretty set on who thinks we should choose, but I'm having a hard time being on the same page with him on who the godparents should be. And I guess just to give a little background, we had a hard time with our first daughter because we wanted to choose from within the family, and we felt like we didn't really have a lot of practicing Catholics in the family. We did, however, find a couple who's a cousin of mine and her husband, and they baptized our daughter. But we really would hope to find somebody who's strong in the faith and who not only just goes to church on Sunday, but has, a deep relationship with God and just practicing and wanting to know more about their faith. And who, I guess, of course, I could get along with. And I say my husband's decided because there's this couple that we've come close to. They're in a marriage ministry with us. They're the head of the marriage ministry. And, we thought, okay, these would probably be the best godparents for our second child now. Except I don't really feel that close to them, close enough to them to where I feel like, okay, we can do this for the rest of our lives.
Okay. That, I think that the question's clear to you, Father, and we have to take a quick break here, Alexis. So will you hang on for just a minute, and we'll, when we come back, Father will answer that question for you. This is Catholic Answers Live. The chaplain is in. 888-318-7884 is the number. We'll be right back.
Join us on air today on Catholic Answers Live.
Robert Hugh Benson's masterpiece, Lord of the World, is, in a word, prophetic. Originally published in 1907, it depicts a world where religious doctrine is not tolerated, euthanasia is practiced widely, and the leader of the world is a benign-looking politician intent on the destruction of religion in the name of truth. Author Dale Ahlquist said it best. Whether or not Monsignor Benson's picture of our future is accurate, the fact is his picture of our present is chillingly accurate. Recommended by Pope Benedict XVI and Pope Francis, Lord of the World is a must-read. Order your copy of Lord of the World now by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
What do the Pharisees, pagan emperors, the Nazis, and the Quran all have in common? All were enemies of the faith who admitted crucial facts that undermined their own position. In his new book, Hostile Witnesses, How the Historic Enemies of the Church Prove Christianity, author Gary Machuda looks at dozens of Christianity's most notorious foes from biblical times through the 20th century and draws from their words and deeds surprising testimony to gospel truths. Rich in research and written with clarity and force, Hostile Witnesses is a unique contribution to Catholic apologetics, one that speaks with special urgency to a modern world in which the faith is once again under attack. If you love apologetics, you need to order your copy of Hostile Witnesses today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore in your area.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. The chaplain is in this hour, Father Vincent Serpa. And the 20 Answers Challenge begins today. We've got almost 1,400 participants signed up, and Lent begins today. And if you don't have your books, you'll be starting a little late, but there's plenty of time. It's still June 4th to see if you can read all 20 Answers books from Catholic Answers. Here's how it works. You take the challenge, and when you purchase the sampler of all 20 books in the 20 Answers series, we're going to take the price down by one half, and we challenge you to finish all of them in Lent or the Easter season. That means all of them done by June 4th, and this applies to the regular books or the e-books. Those who take the challenge win, the Catholic Church wins, and also there's a win for St. Paul Street Evangelization, which gets $10 worth of merchandise to share on the street about the Catholic faith for every person who signs up for the challenge. You can visit the 20 Answers section of the shop at Catholic.com to get yours, or call 888-291-8000 for more information. Father Serpa, when we went to the break, Alexis in San Antonio, Texas, and I believe her husband in the background there, were asking about how they're going to go about picking godparents for their second child that they're expecting.
Right. And she was a bit concerned because she didn't feel that close to the people. What is really necessary is who is going to be the best choice for the child, not for the parents. Because now, granted, when you ask someone to be your godparent of your child, you expect that they will be in your life. And if it's somebody you don't feel comfortable with, I can understand that. I would say if you really don't feel comfortable with asking particular people to be the godparents, then choose somebody from the parish or ask the priest if he knows some family that would be good. The important thing here is that there be somebody who lives a faith and can guide your children should you not be able to do so. And these other issues are lesser issues. And so I can't say whether this person should go for these people that she doesn't feel that comfortable with. If they can find another couple that she does feel comfortable with, even though they may not be that close to them at this point, maybe that might be the way to go. But the important thing here is that the godparents be living the faith and be capable of teaching their children should they need to.
Thank you very much for that, Alexis. The chaplain is in this hour. 888-318-7884 is the number. And we go now to Joan in Mount Vernon, Indiana, listening on 88.7. Joan, you're on with Father Vincent Serpa. What's your question?
Hello, Father Vincent.
Hi.
For Lent, I'm going to try to read a little bit from the Bible each day. Mm-hmm. And my question is, where do I start? Like, do I play Bible roulette and just kind of pick a book? Or do I maybe start with Matthew and just read on through? Or where should I start?
Well, since it's Lent, I would, something I've been meaning to do myself, I would read the Passion narrative in each of the Gospels and then notice how they differ, which each one emphasizes. Focus on the Lord's Passion and on what he was willing to do for us since it's Lent. Or you can just start, with the first Gospel, I guess it's Mark, and just work your way through. Scripture is Scripture. Wherever you read is good, so long as you're into it. So it's not something you can do wrong. You know what I mean? You just start reading. Pray before you do it and read a little bit. Think about it. Enter into it if you can. Ask the Lord or tell the Lord how you feel about what he did, what he endured, or what he said. Get into it if you can. And you do that by just doing it, just opening it up and doing it. It doesn't matter whether you start with Mark or John or, whatever,
What do you think, Joan?
That sounds really good. When I thought about it, though, originally, it was like, the Bible is good, wherever you can start.
You like the Old Testament? You want to read the Old Testament? Go read the Psalms. That's good too. Reading the Gospel of John is very good. John is he has a lot of things that the others didn't mention, and he was very close to the Lord. He was there, the only apostle at the foot of the cross, and the only apostle who was not martyred, although he came close to it, but it didn't happen. So I can't tell you that there's just one that you should do. Do what appeals to you. Pray before you do it, and then just start reading.
Thanks, Joan. Thanks very much. The chaplain is in this hour on Catholic Answers Live. 888-318-7884 is the number. Eva in West Covina, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. What's your question for Father Vincent Serpa?
Oh, thank you, Si. Thank you, Father.
Sure.
My question is, I have been doing the devotion to the first Fridays, mm-hmm. and the first Saturdays. I would be doing my second first Saturday this Saturday, but I haven't been to confession in about a month, although I don't have any mortal sin. But I'm going to try to go to confession tomorrow. But if for some reason I can't do it or there's not a priest available, would I still fulfill the requirements? And would it be valid, my devotion to the first Fridays and first Saturdays?
Sure. Go ahead and go with it. And if you aren't able to go to confession tomorrow, then go the following week, the following Saturday. Okay? That should
okay.
do it.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering because, it.
Sure,
I just have a question about that. Oh, okay. All right. Thank you so much,
You're
Father.
Welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Eva. Chris in Cone. Oh, boy, this is going to get me. Cone. Cano?
Kamiak.
Conneaut, Ohio. Thanks for helping me, Chris. You heard me struggling. I appreciate it. Listening on WMIH Radio. Chris, you are on with Father Vincent Serpa.
Great. Thanks, Father. Thank you for being there for us. Hey, okay. My wife was raised anti-Catholic. When her parents went evangelical, in order to justify themselves, they became anti-Catholic. And now I'm trying to, she doesn't understand why she can't take communion in the church. She's Christian. Why can't, why are we so exclusionary? Why are we aloof? Why are we such, why are we that way? And I need a loving, caring way to convince her to understand that this is not just a symbol. This is not just a remembrance. It's not just lunch we're having with somebody.
Right.
That communion is more than that. How can I lovingly bring her back into the church? I mean, I've been able to get answer all her other side questions, like, why do we pray to the saints? What's this with Mary and all that other kind of stuff? Taking her into an Orthodox church and showing her the icon of the Placuteta, meaning wider than the heavens. Her womb contained the Godhead. That's why we venerate her.
Sure.
And I got that, brother. But how do I convince her? How do I bring her back into communion and have her understand why we are so exclusionary?
Well, we're not excluding people to exclude them. We are emphasizing by our care that this isn't just a piece of bread that we're receiving. It's the body of Christ, and that he enters very into our very bodies, and this is God himself. Why wouldn't we be careful? My goodness, if he's God, then we have to recognize that. I mean, in the Old Testament, they had to take their shoes off, and no one could see God face to face. And here, God is coming to us in this most intimate way. But just as we have certain rules that we must abide by with regard to sexuality and marriage, because it is such a sacred thing, so we have them with regard to this, because this is God himself we're receiving, and we truly believe that it is him. So we're not casual about it. It matters to us. We believe that it is Jesus himself. And St. Paul talks about receiving the Eucharist, you know, in an inappropriate way, you know, not reverencing it, but you know, that we bring condemnation on ourselves when we don't recognize that our behavior must accompany a reception of the Eucharist, that our good behavior must accompany it. So if you look up St. Paul in the Eucharist, I'm sure you'll find Google it, you'll find the appropriate passages where he admonishes people in this way.
Okay, great. She was originally put off by the so-called ritual and the Call No Man Father, which you guys answer like every night on our station.
We just answered that yesterday.
That.
Yeah.
That's right. And so, but when our grandson was baptized, and she held him in her arms as the priest called on the Holy Spirit on him, and she felt the Spirit. Mm-hmm. She was so astounded. She was so amazed that as he anointed the child and said and received the gift of joy of the Spirit, when the baby giggled and laughed, and she felt it. She said, I never felt the Spirit in the church. I thought this church was dead. I'm like, no, here you go. Now if I can only bring her back to understand that communion is not just a ritual. It's not just a remembrance.
Was she baptized in the Catholic Church?
I believe so.
No, I see.
But at an early age, her parents went off.
So she needs to. She needs, basically, she needs to learn what the church teaches. She needs to be educated in the faith. Is what she needs.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you, Chris. And God bless you. Thank you for that call. 888-318-7884 is the number. The chaplain is in. I am Cy Kellett, your host. This is Catholic Answers Live, and we'll be right back.
Catholic Answers. Our success depends on you.
The Christian faith is under constant attack today in numerous ways. But the attack that does the most damage is the one that asks a deceptively simple question. What if Jesus never existed? This is exactly the tack taken by some skeptics today, and make no mistake, the freewheeling and often fact-free nature of many internet sites has allowed this way of thinking called mythicism to spread far and wide. The skeptics come with arguments to cast doubt in numerous ways, attacking the dating and accuracy of the canonical gospels, and arguing the church left out other gospels that would have told a different story. The good news is that there are answers to each and every one of these charges. Good, solid answers. That's why Catholic Answer Studios has just released Jimmy Akin's new DVD, Why You Can Trust the Gospels. It's a powerful presentation in which Jimmy takes on the skeptics and refutes them point by point, revealing how evidence from non-Catholic sources and even tiny details in the Gospels that you've never noticed before show how the Gospels are a true and accurate record of what our Savior said and did. Order your copy of Why You Can Trust the Gospels today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or by visiting the shop at Catholic.com or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Pope Francis reminds us that it does not take a specialized degree in theology to become a great evangelist. We're all called to evangelize. Think about the woman at the well. After she encountered Jesus, she immediately went into the city and invited others to meet him as she had. You and I can go out now and do the same. And St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. Get involved today by contacting us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Chaplin is in this hour on Catholic Answers Live. Next hour, Tim Staples will be here to take your questions of a more apologetic nature. If you've got those questions, hang on. This hour, we take questions of a more pastoral and spiritual nature. 888-318-7884 is the number. We go to Kayla in Sacramento, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Kayla, you are on with Father Vincent Serpa.
Okay, hi.
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 What can I do for you?
Well, I just had a question, well, because I'm going through confirmation right now in eighth grade,
mm-hmm.
and it'll actually be not this Sunday, but next Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just had a few questions because I'm a little nervous about the whole fact that the Holy Spirit is actually, like, coming into my body, and I'm just, like, what to expect from that.
Well, the Holy Spirit has already come into your body when you were baptized. And the Holy Spirit is every time we're inclined to want to pray, it's the Holy Spirit that's urging us on. Not only that, you receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. And you don't seem to be afraid of that. So, you know, if there's one person you need not fear, it's the person of the Holy Spirit. He's there to help you to love the Lord more. And so in the sacrament of confirmation, he gives you strength to live your faith as an adult, because you're preparing for adulthood, and he gives you the extra oomph that we all need, but that's not a bad thing. I mean, nobody is afraid of taking vitamins or having a nutritious meal, because you know it's there for our physical. Our physical health, and so is the sacrament. So are the sacraments. So there's nothing to fear. It's just a matter of recognizing how much the Lord loves you and being happy about it.
Does that help you,
okay.
Kayla?
Yes, it does.
Good, good.
Well, good. Thank you so much for calling. I hope you'll call back sometime if you got another question. We're very happy to take that call. Thank you, Kayla.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Dana in Chino, California, also listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Dana, you are on with Father Vincent Serpa.
Hi, Father. Hi. I have a question. I have a few nieces, and two of them, their parents were never very religious. And, I take my nieces when I can, you know, the church, and they understand, you know, the meaning of, you know, God, the Holy Spirit. You know, they understand the sacrifice, you know, of Jesus. And, you know, and I know that they do want, you know, to be baptized, but, you know, with church, you know, regulations, sometimes if they don't have the parents' consent, you know, they cannot be baptized until they're adults. My question is, my dad told me, he's a very devout Catholic, he told me that, you know, if we're in fear for their souls, that we are allowed to baptize them ourselves.
No,
and there is
no.
a passage somewhere in the Bible and that, you no, know, we're that, able to
that,
do that.
That is not the case. No, the church does not condone people baptizing people, children who are not being reared in the church. The fact is, if they have a desire for baptism, if they should die, they would have baptism of desire anyway. So that would not be something to worry about. But what they need to do is learn the faith and go through, you know, whatever requirements the church has for people to enter the church. And it sounds like they're not old enough to be able to do that right now. So to just baptize them on your own, is rather presumptuous. And the church, first of all, you put on obligations on them that they can't fulfill as Catholics. So it's better to pray for them and to be remain supportive of them, and when the time comes, then to aid them in going through classes and then being baptized. Excuse me.
Dana, does that help you?
Yes.
With your – okay.
It does.
Very
Thank
good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay.
We go all the way across the country now to John in Tallahassee, Florida, listening on Sirius Radio. John, you are on with Father Vincent Serpa. What's your question?
Hey, how you doing? God bless you all. You do a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The question is, when is it permissible to go to confession without, I mean, excuse me, to say an act, get out to contrition without going to confession so as you may receive communion? Like sometime in my case, I travel all the time, and when I get home, a lot of time on the weekends, I think there's nowhere to go to confession because they just don't have them, you know, to have during the week. And I get home late on the weekends, and I just confession is not available, and I have to wait until another day when I get home. I was told once before. And as long as I made a good act of contrition, then I could go to confession. And as soon as afterwards, if I needed to go, you know, go ahead and go to confession, which I try to do. My question is, even if I have committed a mortal sin, not that this happens. I mean, I make the same thing about everything. But if I were to commit a mortal sin, would I still be able to make a good act of contrition that one time and go and receive communion and bam?
Well, certainly a perfect act of contrition would work, but we never – that's the problem. We don't know how perfect our act of contrition is. We don't know how pure our intention is. I say, you know, call the priest and tell him you need to go to confession. He's the only one who can do it, and you need to go. I've had that happen. People who want to go to confession. I've heard confessions in parking lots, in the strangest of places. But I cannot condone just going to receive communion when in the state of mortal sin. I couldn't tell you that myself. I couldn't.
John, I hope that's helpful to you. Thank you so much. We'll try to get in another call here, Father, before we end. Anonymous in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on 1460 AM. Your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Yes. I'm married to a recovering alcoholic who is also a member of Overeaters Anonymous, and he seeks therapy for mental issues. He's in recovery program, and he's a hoarder. And it's just very difficult to live with him. I mean, I'm having struggles all the time, and we're Catholic. This is our only marriage. We've been married 39 years, and we have 4 grown children. I mean, it's just that it just seems like he has everything and anything, you know, and just complains, and he tries to, he criticizes and things of that sort, and it's just very difficult for me to do it anymore. I'm just so worn out, and I want help. I love God. I love Jesus, and, you know, I always turn to him,
so,
and I just want to know what to do.
Okay.
What you want to know what to do? I mean, are you capable of supporting yourself financially?
I'm sorry,
are you capable of supporting yourself financially?
Well, I guess we would have to sell our home, and then I guess we're both retired now. Mm-hmm. So,
well, it sounds like this. Your life is rather abusive. He's controlling of you. You said.
Well. He doesn't tell me where to go or what to do. He's just really critical and, you know, criticizes me and stuff, you know, which I've been put up with him for so many years. You know, I guess I let it go in one ear and out the other.
Okay.
But I mean.
So why is that unbearable now?
Well, because we're both retired and.
So he's home,
you know,
all day.
I guess
he's home all day.
Right. Yeah, I'm working a little bit just watching our grandson and stuff. But, yeah, when I'm with him, you know, it's like we're going to go where he wants to go. And, you know, I mean, he's good, man, and everything. It's just so hard because he just has everything under the sun. I mean, it's always him and, you know, and I let him go to meetings and wherever and get
help. What is it that you want from me? What possibly could you want me to tell you?
I don't know. I want to know. I want to know what to do, how to live, how to accept him.
Do you know your pastor?
Do I know my pastor?
Yes. Do you know him?
We got a new pastor at our church. Yes.
Well, I would suggest that you talk to him about this because he's there on the situation. I mean, I'm just hearing a little bit of it here. But he knows the context in which you're living, and he might be able to help you better than I could from this distance. We'll certainly pray for you, but I think you need to talk to your pastor about this.
Okay. I mean, I heard you talk to the earlier about thinking about Jesus' passion and stuff, and, you know, and that's what I do, and I offer it up, and I know that he suffered more and everything and all his wounds and everything, and I try to, you know, I holy adoration and everything. I offer it all up, and, you know, I don't want to get divorced, but, I mean, I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, it wouldn't, I mean, if it became unbearable, you wouldn't have to divorce to be separated, you know. Sometimes that has to happen if there's abuse involved. But again, as I say, that's something that you need to talk to your pastor about because I don't know enough about the situation from these few minutes to be able to really comment any further than this.
That's one of those situations that needs a little more time to flesh it out. But it is the – I think the kernel there is that a situation that's abusive or whatnot, you don't have to stay there.
Right, absolutely.
Talk to the pastor and see what the pastor has to say. Father Vincent Serpa. Our guest this hour, thanks so much for being with us, Father. Will you give us your blessing before we go?
May the peace and blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Next hour, Tim Staples will be in. We'll take your more apologetics-y type questions. If you have submitted a question on Facebook Live or YouTube Live or Periscope, we may get to those questions as well, so don't give up hope. And thanks to everybody who watches on those venues. 888-318-7884 is the number. Catholic Answers Live will be right back after this with Tim Staples.